둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hello, and welcome to the Spark Parade, where I geek out with artists and entertainers about their cultural spark of inspiration. I'm Adam Ons, at Spark Parade on all social media. Thanks ever so much for joining me. My guest today is Chicano Batman guitarist and keyboardist Carlos Arevalo, who spoke to me about his spark, Radiohead's earth-shaking fourth album, Kid A. I fucking love this album, so this was super fun for me, and as we all know, that's the only thing that matters. But it was a fantastic conversation, and I think you're going to enjoy it immensely. So let's get crackin'. Quick Chicano Batman facts. Chicano Batman is an American band based in Los Angeles, California. Formed in 2008, the band is composed of Eduardo Arenas, Carlos Arevalo, and Bardo Martinez. The group's sound draws from a mix of genres, ranging from psychedelic soul, funk, indie, prog, and rock. Their latest album, Notebook Fantasy, is a body of work that sheds all inhibitions and fully reveals the sublime expanse of the Los Angeles-bred band's musical imagination. Notebook Fantasy taps into the unbridled creativity Chicano Batman previously brought to their 2009 self-titled debut, 2014's Cycles of Existential Rhyme, 2017's Freedom is Free, and 2020's Invisible People. Notebook Fantasy is out today, as in right now today, so listen to it as soon as you're done listening to this. Quick Kid A facts. Kid A is the fourth studio album by English rock band Radiohead, released in October of 2000. After the stress of promoting their 1997 album OK Computer, songwriter Thom Yorke wanted to depart from rock music. Drawing influence from electronic music, ambient music, krautrock, jazz, and 20th century classical music, Radiohead used instruments such as modular synthesizers, brass, and strings. They produced guitar sounds, incorporated samples and loops, and manipulated their recordings with software. Kid A debuted at number one on the UK album chart and became Radiohead's first number one album on the Billboard 200 in the US, where it sold more than 207,000 copies in its first week. Its new sound divided listeners, and some dismissed it as pretentious, deliberately obscure, or derivative. However, at the end of the decade, Rolling Stone, Pitchfork, and The Times ranked it as their greatest album of the 2000s, and in 2020, Rolling Stone ranked it number 20 on its updated list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. Like OK Computer, Kid A won the Grammy Award for Best Alternative Album and was nominated for the Grammy Award for Album of the Year. And there you have it. Let's stop fucking around and get to it. Here comes my chat with Carlos Arevalo about Kid A. The way these conversations always start is with your origin story, with what we're talking about. But in situations like the one we are facing today, I feel like I need to throw in my standard disclaimer, which is sometimes people bring me things to talk about on this podcast that I don't know about or don't care about, and I don't really have any connection with, which is totally fine. Part of the process. This is not one of those situations. I fucking love this album so much. So this is going to be an easy ride, I think.
Nice.
With that out of the way, your origin story with what we're talking about. So can you remember hearing this album for the first time, getting into it, being turned on to it, any of that stuff?
I do remember. So I was, let me see, I think I was 16 when this record came to me. The way I got hip to this record is really on rock and roll. My mom. My mom's a very thoughtful person, and she always gifts me and my sister, as long as I remember, little knickknacks on even the smallest holidays. And I guess you can, I don't know if this is I guess it's technically a holiday. It was Halloween. Mm. And I remember she brought me this record, and it was like, here you go, trick or treat, right? I mean, the perfect literal trick or treat. She's like, I was at Costco and I saw this CD. It looks like something maybe you might be into. She knew I was into music. I had been playing guitar for about a year then, and she gave it to me. And I was really taken aback. Like, wow, she gave me a Radiohead record. I knew about Radiohead because my good friend, Michael, since I've known since middle school, he was turned on to OK Computer through his older brother. And I remember hearing like the single Paranoid Android and seeing the video on MTV and being like, oh, this is cool. It's kind of weird for me, but I appreciate it, but not enough to become a fan then. And she bought me that CD, and I remember putting it on and just being weirded out by it. I didn't understand it at the beginning. I was like, this is strange. I've never really heard anything like this. But then I remember a few days later, it was like a weekend evening. I was just in my room by myself. And I put it on the CD player, the old Sony mini boombox. And I played the record from beginning to end. And I remember when it got to, what is the name of the song? When it got to How to Disappear Completely, something started happening. Like arm hairs started standing up. And I just started feeling like, this is really cool. I don't know. It's hitting me right now. I get it. This is beautiful. And I was hooked as a Radiohead fan ever since.
Yeah, it is such an incredible piece of work and such a like important, I mean, not to get too pretentious with this, but it's so important in the history of music, not just because of the seismic shift in Radiohead's career and what that did to rock music, but all the promo stuff and how they used the internet and all of that kind of stuff. But I guess just taking the music as it is at face value, the progression from OK Computer to Kid A, I don't even know if it is a progression. It's like a complete reset and just taking, you know, there are songs on Kid A that could have been on OK Computer as well. It's not like it's a completely different band and it's totally unrecognizable. But, you know, much has been said about this. I'm not the first person to point this out, but the bravery of being one of the biggest bands in the world and just saying, fuck it, we don't want to do this anymore. We don't want to keep doing the same thing. And we are going to go off in a completely different direction to what anyone could have expected. And I think that comes through really, really well.
Absolutely. It's, you know, so inspiring over the years when I revisit this record and think about how they didn't rest on their laurels. They followed their, you know, their inner voice and where they were being led. Whatever muse that was, and they went for it, and they went double down, all in, and that's exciting. And I think if you look at the history of music and alternative rock or rock music, whatever you want to call it, the best artists always do that. You know, they're constantly looking forward; they're not looking back. They're trying to see what's next, what's the next thing they can do that progresses them as musicians and artists.
Right, and you know, I mean, even within the band, it was really Tom York, who is the one who was like pushing this sound ahead, and everyone else was like, what's going on? And there was a lot of infighting. They thought they were going to break up for a while because it was just like there were too many conflicting ideas coming in. But once everybody kind of got a handle on how to use new technology in their music, that it wasn't just going to be a rock band anymore, there were going to be these electronic elements, and exploring and experimenting, and it all paid off so massively when this album came out, I was living in the UK, and the reaction from, you know, it was kind of a mixed reaction from press across the board, because people had a very specific idea of what they wanted from them, and this was not it for some people. But the British press in particular were just like shat all over it, just really were not into it and didn't understand it. And so when I was in the UK hearing this stuff, I was like, I guess, you know, I love this album, but I think it is going to bomb. And then it's huge. It made them even more famous. It was like the, you know, especially in this country, American audiences just ate that shit up. And it's so inspiring to me. It's so like affirming of the idea of taking chances and pushing your artistry into new places.
Yeah. I think also when a record like this presents itself, it takes a little while for people to catch up. Sometimes it's so futuristic, you know, it's just, it's too much for, you know, the normal person to take in and understand. And that's what I think what was happening with the press is they didn't send out the record ahead of time, which gives the press like a lead time to listen to it, live with it, write the review. You know, everyone heard it at the same time as what I've been reading. And that was the reason for like the negative reviews, was people had to just go with their gut reaction listening upon it and trying to get that piece of journalism out, you know, as quickly as possible so that it was immediate and in line with the release. But yeah, this record is, it's crazy that it ended up just making them so much bigger of a band. And it's crazy how that works sometimes, you know?
Yeah. And that feeling, the way that it was released, you know, they didn't do any promo. They didn't want to do very many interviews. There weren't any videos. It was like, you know, tiny little 10-second clips that they called blips or something. I don't remember what the specific term was, but just mysterious promotional stuff, but not really playing the game. So like you said, you know, critics didn't get a chance to hear it and really sit with it. But fans as well, people, you know, it leaked before the album came out, and it was, you know, the dawning of people downloading music and consuming in that way. So people are using these like ancient dial-up speeds to download this music, spend, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever, downloading a track. And then it's just these like weird bleeps and bloops and things that they've, you know, they're like, what the fuck is this? This is not the band that we love. And that's one track. So yeah, you can understand having a bit of polarization there when it's just shocking and people are getting little bits of it out of context and all that stuff too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess in terms of your own experience with this album, we don't need to talk about what the critics think. Are there like specific elements that speak to you more than others? Like, do you, you know, there are parts that are very electronic, very removed from like, I guess, organic instrumentation, parts that are rockier, parts that are like free jazz, parts that are, you know, orchestral. Are there elements there that stand out to you that feel like they resonate more, or is it the whole package?
I think it's the whole package. When I revisit this record, I think about how many artists it opened me up to after reading about who inspired Radiohead. You know, I started finding out about Charles Mingus, you know, Bitches Brew, Miles Davis, Can, which is hugely influential for me now. And you kind of see the, you know, the timeline and the history from those bands, and you hear it being filtered through Radiohead's process. And a song like what is it, the national anthem, the end of that track with all the crazy horn section, and it's like free jazz basically.
Right.
That was all new to me. I hadn't really listened to that kind of music before this record, and this record opened me up to so many genres of music that I was unaware of. I was basically a rock and roll head. And I mean, for context, what was on the charts at this time? We're talking boy bands and new metal, you know, rap rock. That was what was popular. And this band came in and put this record out and went to number one. And it's so different from everything else. And it was so influential, like you mentioned earlier. Think of all the groups today that have like atmospheric sensibilities and ambient textures, you know, with their guitars. And I feel like, I don't know, for what I know from what I gathered, it felt like Radiohead was the first to like really do that at the turn of the century at this scale. And it's always inspiring going back and listening to this record. Just you listen to the first track, you know, Everything in Its Right Place. it starts with a Prophet 5 synthesizer, which I don't want to get too esoteric in terms of musician instrumentation, but that's a very 80s keyboard, 70s keyboard. You know, nobody thought those things were, that I remember. I don't remember many artists using those in the 90s and being like, this is hip. You know, right. It's probably the complete opposite of hip when, you know, when you thought of that instrument. But here they are using it in this modern context, and it sounded so futuristic, and it really showed the timelessness of those tools, depending on who's using them.
Time for a quick break, because somebody's got to keep the lights on around here, but we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I think there's like a transparency that I think has stayed with the band in terms of their process, their influences, like wearing their influences on their sleeve, not being very interested in, especially Thom Yorke, like doesn't really trust reporters, doesn't really want to give interviews, but talking about, you know, like you were saying, Mingus and Miles Davis and Björk and Aphex Twin and all of these sounds that are so unexpected, and being really clear that that's where this stuff is coming from. And just being open to things that weren't necessarily not only what people were expecting from them, but wasn't in the charts, wasn't stuff, you know, again, like you said, these were sounds that people weren't experiencing because they weren't what was, you know, happening at the time. And another thing that I thought was really interesting when this came out, like, you know, this is a British band, dance music had been chart music in the UK for decades. It was, you know, whatever, Daft Punk, stuff like that in the 90s was top 10. You know, it wasn't something that was a niche thing. And even Aphex Twin, club culture was very, very mainstream. So I found it so interesting that a country that has that framework initially rejected this album so much. In the United States, where dance music hadn't really been pushed to the forefront and dance production hadn't become what it is now, where it's like infused in everything, and people ate it up. And from a band that had this very specific lane and had just had enormous success with OK Computer, and everybody absolutely loved that album, and being able to take millions of people along with them when they're saying, radical shift, we're going to do things with, you know, introducing you to sounds that you may not have heard before, or you may not have heard them in the context we're putting them in, and how, yeah, just like thrilling it is to see people just pushing the form forward, really wanting to do new things. And I think it opened them up, this album. I mean, I know it did, for their entire career, made it so that they were so free and were free of anybody's expectations, and people that expected the unexpected from them instead of wanting them to do the same thing over and over again.
Absolutely. I think this record and like the process behind making it kind of established like a somewhat of a blueprint for me as an artist functioning in bands, you know, growing up and in the band I'm in now. Sometimes I'll read about like, you know, the making of this record, and there's so many stories that are very, very similar to what goes on in my band, you know. And what I've learned is it happens in most bands, you know, when you have a bunch of collaborators. That is, sometimes impasse will happen because somebody wants to go in a direction that is out of someone's comfort zone, our comfort zone, your comfort, you know, whatever, depending who brought the idea. And, you know, I look back to this record and I think about it, and it's like, okay, if I'm out of my comfort zone, then that's good. That means we're doing something exciting and new for us. And instead of fighting against it, let's roll with it. Let's try to, you know, infuse it with something positive that I can bring on my instrument or whatever. And that's been a great like source of guiding light for me as a songwriter and a musician in a band. There was definitely instances, we have a new record coming out called Notebook Fantasy, and I brought in this tune that is ended up becoming the lead single. It's called Fly. And at first, me and our singer Bardo were adamant about this song being like a slow tempo. That was how we demoed it. We thought it was great as it was. We show it to the producer, John Congleton, and he's like, let's speed this up. Let's try speeding this up. And him saying that just went against every grain, you know, every sensation of my body was like, oh no, like it's perfect. What are you talking about? Speed it up. He's like, let's just try it. We speed it up. And I was like, I kind of love it, but I'm unsure, you know, because this is so different from what I would normally do traditionally. But there is an inkling of like, you know, positive sensation I'm feeling. I'm uncomfortable. Okay, let's double down on this then. Let's do it at this new tempo and let's go all in. You know, it's always served me well, to be honest. And I think about the process of records like Kid A, and yeah, it's something that I can learn from, honestly, in terms of like managing personnel and relationships and outlook in a group, in a collaborative setting.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it is, you know, I want to say that innovation and tension and pushing forward is always good for bands, but sometimes it's a complete mistake and people, you know, fall flat on their face trying to do something completely different to what they've done. It destroys bands because they can't agree on things and everybody's pissed off all the time. So that's another part of it. It's a huge risk. It means you're putting yourself in a position where it's like you could be setting yourself up to fail by rejecting the things that have made you successful. You could be putting yourself in a position where there's going to be massive tension in the band. You're going to be, you know, butting heads constantly. You're going to fall out with your producer, whatever. But to my mind, I mean, I'm not a musician, so I shouldn't be trying to, you know, insert myself into this conversation. But if you don't take those risks, you are, to some extent, treading water. You are staying in the same place you're saying, or it can just be a comfort thing where you're like, this is what we do. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, blah, blah, blah. But I find it so much more exciting when bands, musicians find ways to challenge themselves and challenge their audience and take them along on, you know, I don't think that if those experiments don't set the charts on fire, that it's not worth the experiment. I think, you know, trying things out, exploring, opening yourself to as many possibilities as possible as an artist is like part of the joy of artistry. So it's something I really admire about them and about everybody who takes those risks.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's become almost my MO is I look at groups like Radiohead, I look at artists like David Bowie, and it was just taking a chance every time. Like, what's the point? You know, why those records exist, your past records and your past catalog, in your catalog, they exist. They will always be there. So why try to recreate that when you can just, you know, do something else?
Mm-hmm.
Try to do something that's fresh for yourself and exciting and new ground. And that's always something that has guided me as a musician, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, Bowie's a great example that basically until the day he died, he was pushing forward, always wanting to outdo himself, explore new forms of music and forms of expression. And, you know, his last album that's like infused with the specter of death and knowing that he was going to die. Fuck. Oh, I could, let's not go off on too many tangents here. It was like, he is one of my faves. But yeah, it's just so exciting. And also, you know, not to focus too much on the business side of things, but the way they changed how people consume music. You know, I think this was, if not the first, one of the first albums that was available to stream. And, you know, setting things up for, you know, Beyonce dropping her self-titled album with no notice and just being like, here it is. People, part of it is musicians who already have a huge fan base and can kind of do that shit and get away with it. But, you know, in Rainbows a few years later, where it's just like, it's available as a free download, go for it. And I really admire that too, that it's like they were in firmly in the mainstream, like OK Computer followed that MTV model of putting out videos and promoting things in a very traditional way. Part of it was that the world was changing, the internet was taking over, all of that, but they really used that to their advantage. And that combined with this bizarre, beautiful, amazing music, like, I don't think it's an overstatement to say that it changed the world.
Absolutely. They're masters of promo, honestly, and using cutting edge technology to facilitate their vision. You know, they built the infrastructure, like you said, for the, you know, the album drop that just happens. You know, you just go out there and announce it, and it's dropping tonight or tomorrow, whatever. They were one of the first ones to do that. And it's a model that people still follow today, like you said, Beyonce and other artists. And, you know, as far as I know, I feel like Radiohead did it first at the scale they did.
Mm, yeah. And also outside of, you know, the kind of high level marketing, changing the world, whatever, just the way this music makes me feel. I saw them on their last tour and, you know, went to Madison Square Garden and got cheap nosebleed seats, went with a bunch of friends. And, you know, there is a very like soundtrack to my life feeling where we're all just like literally like arms around each other, crying, being very over the top melodramatic. But listening to them perform songs from this album is very emotional. And the way that they're able to translate the electronic elements, the parts that are, you know, are not possible for a band to play into live performance is just seamless. And they really, it shows how much the band collaborate on things, even though some people didn't play on certain songs on this album. And they talk about that as well, that it's like, it's a collaborative process. And they all kind of came to understand that the way it was going to work, if they were adding all of these new sounds in, was that, you know, it was going to be a little bit more of a rotating cast than it had been before, and that they were just open to it and dove into it. It was whatever. One of those two.
Yeah, they were, despite the electronic, you know, people think of electronic elements as cold, you know, those blips and baps that you're talking about. That's one, you know, pessimistic way to look at it, but that some people think. But when they took the show on the road, like you said, it showed that at the heart of it, the music was still rooted in a humanity. They were able to arrange it for guitars and Fender Rhodes pianos and synthesizers and recreate it and still emote and generate like the same kind of, I don't know, emotional reaction from the audience. I feel like hearing it live as they did on the recording. I know I certainly felt that way. I also went to their last tour. I saw them at their last show that they've played to date in Philadelphia. I just so happened I was in town. And yeah, they were playing those songs. And they're a special band in my heart because I listened to Kid A today. And yes, there are feelings of nostalgia when I listen to it. But it, to me, the album is not dated. It's classic. It's a classic album and it's timeless. And I can't say that for many artists that I listen to in 2000 today. I'll go back and revisit it. And I'm like, I can't listen to this. I'm not in this headspace anymore. This is too too masculine or, you know, macho, or this is too, you know, cheesy, whatever. And I just feel like every record they put out is just timeless. You can go back and it just, the next generation can listen to it and it sounds as fresh as it did to the previous generation that consumed it.
Right. And part of it, I think, is that mixture of all different kinds of sounds that you have, stuff that was like before their time, stuff that was the sounds that the band were, had already made, and then all of this stuff that was pushing the sound forward. And it is that kind of, timelessness. But even then, like, it's one of these albums that evokes the specific moments when I first heard it for me, more than almost anything. And I mean, this is just, you know, my individual experience. I promise I'm not going to make the rest of this chat all about me. But when this album came out, I was like supposed to go on vacation. I was like studying and I was supposed to go on vacation with somebody who flaked at the last second. And I went by myself to Prague for 5 days. It's the only time in my life I've ever gone on vacation by myself. I can't actually believe that I did this, but I bought that album on the way in the airport and put it on. And it was just like, you know, had no idea what to expect and was absolutely blown away by it. And wandering around Prague, it's like kind of gloomy outside and a little bit cold. And now I can listen to this album anytime, but it is a very like cloudy weather album for me. And especially like, you know, Everything in Its Right Place and like the most electronic songs really have that feeling for me. But that's my individual experience. And it is the same way that everybody is with art, that it's, you know, the personal relationship with what is going on. But the fact that something that people felt was like too impersonal and too cold and too, you know, up itself and esoteric and whatever is so emotional and still feels so human, even though there's all of these electronic sounds in it. It's incredible.
It is incredible. I've listened to so many albums, obviously, my whole life, and I can really only think of two records that I can remember at that time, where I was and what I was doing the first time I heard it. And like I shared with you, I remember being in my bedroom on that Friday or Saturday night and just, it hit me like a ton of bricks. The other record is very different, is the Strokes, Is This It, was another record where I remember playing it with some friends. And again, context, rap metal, you know, hip hop. I love hip hop and I even liked rap metal, you know, to a certain extent. That was ruling the charts and that's what music was. And then Is This It came on and just like, you know, cleared the palate in terms of like guitar music. And I remember just being taken aback by it. It sounded so familiar yet so new and fresh. But anyways, I digress. Kid A's is one of those few records where it had that effect on my life, where I can remember after all these years where I was at, where what I was doing when I first listened to it. And it holds a special place in my heart forever.
Yeah. I just got to say, Is This It is fucking stone cold classic, like no skips, perfect album. Love it so much.
Yep.
But yeah, that feeling where it's like you hold something so close to your heart, it's so dear to you that, you know, it's this touchstone you can come back to over and over again. I mean, I guess that's what this show is all about, is, you know, finding those things. But yeah, what a joy. It's, to me, it's one of the best parts of living, is being able to find those moments of connection through artistry that really change you and shape you and kind of act as these like guiding forces, without getting too woo-woo, in your life and your work and all those things. I mean, I'm just basically reading out the mission statement for this show now, but yeah, it's a great feeling.
I agree. Yeah, this record changed my life.
That's what it's all about. I think that is as good a note as any to finish on. What fun. As I always say when anybody wants to talk about something that I love, these are the moments when I'm like, I love what I do. Oh, it's just, yeah, true joy. So thank you so much for giving me a chance to talk about this.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Great. Well, take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to Carlos for talking to me about an album that I love so much. The new Chicano Batman album, Notebook Fantasies, is out now for your listening pleasure. And that's about it this time around. Please, for the love of God, follow me on social media at Spark Parade. Please rate the show 5 stars and leave me the nicest review you've ever left anyone, wherever you can. And until next time, bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.